Amen. I love that song so much. I love it says there, will he refuse us a place in heaven? He should, but he won't. You say, well, you don't know. You don't know my background. You don't know what I've done, what I've lived, who I am. I don't, but he does. And he died for you anyway, so that he could forgive your sins if you would just repent and place your faith in him. So I praise the Lord that for Brother Wayne or Dwayne Tester. I thank the Lord that for him filling in for me. From what I heard, there was great feedback. I also heard that he's going to make my sermon seem real short this morning. I told him beforehand. I said, "This is a church that doesn't care about length of sermon as long as you're in the Bible." And I'm sure Brother Dwayne was. And I just thank him so much. He enjoyed being here. And from what the feedback I've got, you enjoyed having him. And I just praise the Lord that he was willing to step in for me, Pastor Daniel, as well, on Sunday night and Wednesday night. I thank the Lord that thank you all for allowing us to get away for a few days. Much needed. Great time with family. Come back excited and ready to roll. So if you've got a copy of God's Word with you, as you can see in the on the title screen there, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, as we think about living like a winner. Living like a winner. And before we read our text this morning, as growing up in the sports world, there were a lot of people who said they wanted to be winners, but they weren't willing to put in the work and do what was necessary to actually make that happen. Everybody wants to be a winner, but nobody wants to do what it takes to get there. And spiritually, I believe it's the same way. Now, we need God's grace to empower us to do so, but it's not like we sit on a church pew, ride it out to glory, and we're going to live like a winner. Now, I praise God if you're saved by the grace of God. You are a winner, but he wants us to live victoriously every single day of our lives as his children. And I want to look at that this morning over 3 points, but let's stand in as we read God's word. 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to read verse number 58. The Bible says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for this wonderful opportunity you have given me to open your word and proclaim your truth this morning to your people. I pray you would empower me to rightly divide it. I pray you'd empower me to preach in demonstration of the Spirit and empower. That way you get all the glory and I get none of it. And I pray that you, most of all, if there's anybody in our presence that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, I pray today you would open their eyes to their need. Help them to see who they are, where they're going, but what you want to do for them in saving their soul. Draw them to you in repentance and faith, we pray. Lord, we pray for Pastor Daniel as he's probably preaching even now. Pray you'd anoint his lips, enable him to proclaim your word in power. And I pray, Lord, you'd burden those people to be a part of the work that you have given Pastor Daniel as he shares your gospel through ORH. Just help him today. Bless him today. We pray for all those that are sick and aren't feeling well. We pray you touch and heal them. All those that lost loved ones or friends, Lord, please give them grace and encourage them during this time. We pray, Lord, you just meet with us and give us the grace to be obedient to what we hear today. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So as we think this morning about living like a winner, and I already addressed it, but many of us as Christians would say, I want to live a victorious life every day. But then we show if we really want to or not by what we do the following day. We show how bad we want to be a winner because to be a winner, and this thought I'm not going to harp on or anything, but just with the Tennessee game and all that going on in my mind, to be that way, the team Tennessee didn't get where they are today in a week. It took building. It took preparation. It took work. It took just being faithful every day to put the time in, to put the work in, to put the effort in, and over time it has brought to fruition victories for them. And the Lord wants to enable us to live a victorious life every single day, and we see how we can do that. We see how we can be motivated to do that, and we see the result of that this morning in our text before. So the first thing I want to point out this morning as we think about living like a winner is the maxims of a winner. The maxims of a winner. We see first, the first maxim, we see there must be discernment of the game plan. Verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. There must be discernment of the game plan. One of the most forgotten about aspects of college or professional football is film study. Is putting in the boring time watching film of your opponent. And I didn't enjoy it. I'm sure Jeffrey loved it back when he was in high school watching film. But a good team, a good player, they will put the time in to do the things that aren't necessarily fun to get them to the place they want to be. Peyton Manning, one of my favorite football players to ever play the game, they said that outside of the team film study that he would do together with the team, that he would spend 20 hours a week watching film on his own. He wanted to discern the game plan before he got in the game. See, that's why so many Christians aren't participating in the game today, because they have no clue what the game plan is. And I've been that way in my sports career, where I took a nap during film study time, and when I got out on the field, it showed itself. See, we got to be willing to put the work in to discern our game plan, because there's too many people, like one professional football player named Kyler Murray. They took it out because everybody raised Cain over it, but they put a clause in his contract that he had to watch 4 hours of film a week, or he wouldn't get paid, basically. I think that's what the Lord needs to do with a lot of Christians nowadays, isn't it? Needs to put a clause in our contract, hey, you got to, because otherwise we won't. But see, that's the thing with the Lord. He won't make you do it. He's not going to force you to get in His Word. He's not going to force you to learn of Him. He's not going to force you to learn of your enemy, which is the devil. He's not going to force you to learn of His promises. He's not going to force you to do that. You've got to be able to. You've got to be willing by God's grace to do it. So we see, how do we, when we discern the game plan, it says, be steadfast. We need to discern, but if we're going to get in the game and fulfill God's plan for our life and further the kingdom of God, we've got to discern our game plan. And when we do that, and here's how we, I mean, in short, this is how we do it. This is our game plan. This is everything we need to know. The Bible says everything that pertains into life and godliness is found in the knowledge of Him, Christ, found in the Word of God. This is our game plan. And that is why so many Christians, they are not living the Christian life in a manner that God wants them to, because they don't know the game plan. They're not in their Bibles. But when we get in this book, there's some things that we learn. And the most important one, we learn of His person, Christ's person. We learn more of Him. See, that's why so many Christians are not motivated, we'll talk more about that in a moment, to live the Christian life, because they don't really know much of Jesus. The more you learn of Jesus, the more you'll want to serve Him. The more you'll want to love Him. The more you'll, the more fervent desire you'll have to follow Him. We learn of His person, who He is, what He's done for us. But not only do we learn of His person, but we learn of our position in Christ. And this is what hamstrings a lot of children of God today. They're uncertain of their standing with God. They're not sure if they're saved. That's why the devil doesn't want us to discern the game plan, to understand the Word of God on the areas of scriptural truth in regards to our salvation, because he knows if you have assurance of your salvation, you will be motivated to pursue Christ, to fulfill the Great Commission, to do what he has called us to do. But we cannot do anything if we don't know if we're saved or not. He wants us to doubt and to struggle and to fear, because if we're doubting, we're not living for God. But you see, we learn our position. We learn if we're saved or if we're lost. The Bible will tell you that if you'll get in the Word, it'll let you know for sure if you're saved or if you're lost. God doesn't want you to doubt. He doesn't want you to worry. He doesn't want you to fear. He wants you to know for sure, and you can from the Bible. You can know if you're saved, and you can know who you are in Christ. That'll motivate us too. I know you know who you are, and I know who I am, and I know what I deserve. But when we read the Bible and we realize who we are in Jesus, that motivates me to want to serve Him, to want to fulfill the game plan, the purpose that He has for me. So we discern His person, we discern our position, and then we also discern our persecutor, our enemy. That's a big reason why football teams watch film in the first place. to learn more of their opponent. Yet another reason why the devil doesn't want you in the Bible. Because it tells you who he is. It tells you what he's about. It tells you what he wants to do to you. It tells you all you need to know to fight against him in a manner that has been laid out for us in the Bible. See, if we don't know the game plan, we're fighting with our hands tied behind our back and our eyes closed. But when we know what the Bible says about him, when we know what the Bible says in regards to how to fight him, we can be effective and we can be victorious. But getting in the Bible is the key. We've got to be willing to discern the game plan. We discern his person, our position, our persecutor, and our purpose. So many people today that they are depressed and discouraged because they feel like their life has no meaning. Sometimes even children of God. That's exactly where the devil wants you to be. He wants you to think you're worthless. There's nothing for you. You might as well just end it all. That's what the devil wants you to think. But you see, when you get in the Bible, you realize that that's the farthest thing from the truth. You realize that God has a plan for you, and if he didn't, you'd be in heaven right now. If nothing else, his desire is for you to share the gospel with every person you come into contact with. If nothing else, it's his desire that you pray for you pray for the people of God, you pray for the work of God, you pray for the missionaries. Hey, you think, well, my life has no purpose. I physically can't do what I used to do. Well, do you have a mind where you can pray? You don't even have to speak it. Can you think and pray? Can you do that? Our missionaries all around the world, as Miss Deb Greer always says in her prayer request, they need our prayers. Hey, you can be a prayer warrior for God, and nobody may ever know what you've done for God, but God knows, and one day you'll be rewarded for it. God's got a purpose for you, and it may not be something extraordinary for the whole world to see, but if you'll find the will of God for your life and do that, and I guarantee you it involves being a part of the work of God, furthering the kingdom of God, sharing the gospel, being a witness, praying, all those things. See, the Bible tells us what our purpose is. You have a purpose. Don't let the devil ever tell you that your life is worthless. You have no purpose. There's no plan for your life. You might as well end it and be done with it. God's got a plan for you. Get in his word and let him show you what that is. You say, well, I'm not sure. Well, I guarantee you he wants you to share the gospel. Do that. As you do that, he'll show you other things. Show you how to pray. And then as you serve, he'll help you find your place in the body of Christ. God's got a spot for you in the body of Mount City Baptist Church. A spot that he is ready and raring to get you to. But you got to get in the Bible so that he can show you that. So we learn of his person, our position, our persecutor, our purpose, and our provisions. What we have at our disposal by God's grace. We learn, I guess one preacher calls Ephesians our spiritual bank account. When we get in the Bible, we realize what we have in Christ. We realize, first, our assurances, our promises that we have from Jesus. See, that's why so many people struggle in fear and doubt, because they don't know what the Bible says. Maybe one I always go to, because that's one of the most prevalent ones, is financial difficulty. You say, well, I don't know how to do it. Are you a child of God? Go to the Bible. See what it says about children of God in regards to financial difficulty. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I shall meet all your needs according to his riches and glory. The Bible's got something to say about it. Get in it. Learn of his promises and cling to those things. And that can give you assurance in tough times. See, but then that's why the devil doesn't want us to discern the game plan. That's why he doesn't want you to spend time in the Bible. That's why he makes it very hard for you to find time to do so. Because he knows how game-changing it will be and how effective in the field of life you will be for him. So we learn of our provisions in regards to our assurances, our promises, and our ability, our empowerment. We learn that it's not up to us. It's discouraging when somebody thinks it's up to us, but then you get in the Bible and you realize it's not up to us, it's up to him. Just surrender yourself to him and he'll do it through you. But the devil wants you to stay out of the Bible, so then you think it's up to you. Then you try to do the work on your own. You fall flat on your face. You get discouraged. You get depressed. He's got you where he wants you because you're rendered ineffective. Or you get in the Bible. You realize if you'll just surrender, Christ will do it through you. But But we got to discern the game plan. That's key. And sometimes as we do that, just as watching film, preparing for a football game, it is not fun. It is boring. It is tedious, but it's necessary. That is, if we want to be effective on the field and live like a winner. So we see the maxim of a winner. Number one, there must be discernment of the game plan. So it says steadfast. Then when there's discernment of the game plan, there must be determination to carry out that game plan. It says verse 58 again, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable. That means when you know it, when you know the game plan, stand firm on it. Stick with it. Trust what the coach says. Now, every football coach in the United States of America is human. They will let you down. But I thank God our Lord will never let us down. And when he tells us to do something, if we'll allow him to enable us to do it, he will follow through. We can trust him. Determined to do it by God's grace, and he will enable you to do it. See, when we know the truth, when we're standing on the word, we can, even in the heat of battle, when it seems like all hope is lost, we can stand on that and be determined. I'm not going to be moved. Because that's what God says. Not what Tyler says, but what God says. Got to be determined. There must be determination to carry out the game plan. So steadfast, unmovable. And then also, there must be development to always get better. Always, yeah, that's what winners do. That's why every Tennessee fan is not a big fan of Alabama, because they always are getting better, and that's why they always win. They don't get complacent. They're always growing, always developing, and that's what we need to be doing as children of God as we learn the game plan and we have the determination to stand with that game plan. We've got to, by God's grace, allow him to develop us to be better. You say, well, I'm in a good spot spiritually. Well, if you think you've arrived and you're where you need to be, you're in a bad place. We can always grow. We can always get better. We will never get to the point God wants us to be at until we get to heaven. I thank God once we get there, he'll make us exactly how he wants us to be. But we can get better every day until that point. It says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always getting better. Always doing more, always developing our spiritual skills for God. That's what sanctification is, becoming more like Jesus every single day. We do that. How do football players get better? First, they do it through strength training. Now, spiritually, we can't strengthen ourselves. God's got to do that. So how do we strengthen ourselves spiritually? We pray. That's where the power's at. That's the power source. Prayer. We go if we've discerned the game plan, but we've not put the time in the weight room. You can know the game plan until you're blue in the face, but it's not going to do you any good on the field. But when you've put the time in to develop the strength, and when we seek God and beg God to give us the strength to do what He wants us to do, say, God, I have a desire to do it. Enable me to do it. Get glory through it. I believe He'll do it. There's got to be strength training. There's also got to be, and we've already talked about it, but there's got to be the proper sustenance. You got to eat right. Got to eat right. That is, if we want to live a victorious life. If we're honest with ourselves, spiritually, we're probably all consuming too much junk food. I am physically as well, but I mean that's the world we live in. I'm not making that as an excuse, but what I'm saying is the devil tries everywhere we turn, everything we hear, he's trying to fill us with junk. That's why we've got to strive by God's grace. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You've got to eat right. You've got to eat right. Got to get in the word. There must be strength training, sustenance, and striving. What I mean by that, to exert oneself vigorously, try hard, to make strenuous efforts to any goal, to contend in opposition, battle, or in any conflict, compete. We've got to give our all. The Tennessee football team, as they run out of the tunnel, as they're leaving their locker room, there's a state of Tennessee, and it says, I will give my all for Tennessee today. Every day, we need to get out of bed and say, I will give my all for Jesus today. I want to give him all I've got. That's what we've got to be willing to do. And that doesn't mean we need to do anything crazy. Like super extravagant. I love one thing that Coach Josh Heupel for the Tennessee football team said. He said prior to the game, he said, we don't have to do anything extraordinary. We just have to do the ordinary at a very high level. That's all we need to do. We don't need to do anything special. We just need to be faithful to do the ordinary at a very high level by God's grace. Faithful to pray. Faithful to read the Bible. Faithful to witness. Faithful to serve God. He's not asking you to do anything super special. He just wants you to be faithful to do the little things right, effectively. That's what makes a winning team. That's what they were asking him. They said, Coach, what's the key to success today? And he said that. We don't need to do anything extraordinary. Just do the ordinary at a high level. That's what God wants us to do, if we'll let him do it through us. So we see that's the maxims of a winner. There must be discernment of the game plan, steadfast. There must be determination to carry out the game plan, unmovable. There must be development to always get better, always abounding. Number two, we see the motivation of a winner. Now, I'll hit these rapid fire because I know we're getting close. But we see here the motivation of a winner. We see in verses 1 through 8. And our number one, probably one of our top motivations is our salvation. Why should we strive? Why should we compete, contend for the faith with fervency and passion? Because what God's done for us. Look at verses 1 through 8. The Bible says, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. That's the gospel. That's what we were saved by, the gospel of Christ, the good news of what Christ Jesus did for us. That our salvation, God saving our wretched, nasty, awful, wicked soul, that's what we are, and we don't ever need to think we're better than that. God saved our soul. He forgave our sins. We have the hope of heaven. That should motivate us to want to serve him. And we learn more of what he's done for us in the Word of God. So the motivation of a winner, our salvation, and praise God, our steadfast hope. Wait, we've got a hope past this life. This is not it. We've got a hope. Verse number 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Yet are ye yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. That means because he rose, we will rise. And we see some more of that. Go with me to verse 51. It says, Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. We have a hope, church. We have hope. Don't think the devil wants you to think you have no hope. Hey, we're going to heaven one day. We're going to spend eternity with Christ one day. He's still got us here because He wants to use us to get more people there. But we have a hope. That should motivate us. Our salvation, our steadfast hope, and this is number one. This goes first, then our salvation, then our steadfast hope, but our Savior. Verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He should motivate us. A lot of times you'll hear players talk about they want to give their best for their coach because they know how much he cares for them. They know what all he's done for them. They know that he has got them to the point that they're at, and that's just a sinful man. But our Lord is the greatest leader. He is perfect, never done anything wrong. He lived a perfect, sinless life, died on the cross for you and me, the Bible says, with joy in his heart because he knew that he would save us one day. He'd give us the hope of heaven, and he was buried, and he rose again on the third day. Jesus went all the way. He could have stopped short and been no less God, but he knew we needed him to finish what the task, and he did. That should motivate us to want to pursue him with all our heart, to want to get in the Bible, to learn the game plan so we could be effective in the field of life. But the devil, he will try everything in his power to keep us out of here, to keep us from discerning the game plan that God has for us. So we see the motivation of a winner. And we see number three and finally, the manifestation for a winner. Verse 58, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So there's three things. When we do it, we get in the Bible, we discern the game plan, we determine we're going to do it, we develop our skills, and we live out. We see he gives us purpose. We already talked about that. He gives us a purpose. He gives us a plan, a will for our lives. He gives, and not only does he tell us to do something, but he empowers us to do it. He gives us power. And when we serve God, he does it through us. But there will be a profit. What I mean by that is we will be rewarded. When we get to heaven, we're going to receive crowns for what Christ did through us. Yeah, and we need to understand that. Anything good that we do, we don't do. He does. But all the work we do, it may seem futile. You may be witnessing and serving God and loving God and sharing the gospel with all your heart and you're not seeing any fruit. Remember, it's not your job to save the soul. It's your job to sow the seed. If you are doing that, you will be rewarded for that one day. It's not in vain. You're not wasting your time. It just keep on keeping on for God. It is worth it. You will receive a reward, and one day you will be able to take that reward, not flaunt it around heaven, as I've said before, but take it and lay it at the feet of Jesus. That's why we should be motivated to live for God and to love God so that we can be rewarded to have something to offer him at his feet when we get to heaven in thanksgiving for what he's done for us. There will be a reward. It is profitable. You're not wasting your time. Anything you do for God is never a waste of time. But you got to do it in the right spirit. Remember that. Because sometimes we do things for God, but we're mad about it the whole time. And we're not going to be rewarded for that. We're going to be rewarded for what we do for God, even if that's cleaning the toilets. But you got joy in your heart knowing that is for the house of God, for the work of God. You'll be rewarded for that. No labor done in the right spirit for God will be in vain. None. He'll reward you so that you can thank him. Because if he didn't reward us for him doing it through us, we'd have nothing to offer him. But he wants us to have something to offer him in return if we will enable him to empower us to do so. So the question is, do you want to live like a winner? Everybody's like, yeah, of course. Okay. Are you willing to put the work in to get there? Doesn't happen overnight. Don't have to do anything extraordinary. Just need to do the ordinary things at a high level, faithfully. If we'll let God do that through us, we will live a victorious life. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to be a millionaire. You're never going to be sick. Everything's going to go great. Nobody's never going to get mad at you. Everything you want, you're going to get. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying God will honor it. God will bless it. And one day you'll be rewarded for it. Let's strive from this moment forward to live like a winner. But to do so, we got to beg God to enable us to do so. As Miss Mary comes to the piano this morning, where has this message found you? Maybe you were like me, and there have been many times in my life where I wasn't living like a winner. If anything, I was living like a loser. Maybe you'll say, Lord, forgive me for not striving to discern your game plan for my life. Give me a burden to get in your word. Give me a burden to discern what you want me to do. And then give me the ability to do it. People are praying. The altar's open. Still praying, the altar's still open. Don't leave today without doing business with God. Are you saved by the grace of God? If you're not saved, you're not a winner. You're on your way to a terrible place called hell. But Jesus died so that you don't have to go there. He wants to make you a winner. But you've got to be willing to repent of your sin and place your faith in Christ, and He will forgive your sins and save your soul. Thank you.